Almighty and gracious Father in heaven, we rejoice to be able to come together in thy house this evening, to gather together in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, in whom we find salvation and truth, in whom we find purpose and joy. Lord, we pray that in our presence this evening, that thy name would be honored and glorified. Be with us in our thoughts as we meditate upon the scriptures, and even provide the inspiration by thy Holy Spirit to each and every soul that comes to drink of the water of life that is made available to us through thy word and through thee, O Lord, our God, who is full of mercy, compassion, and truth. We pray that thou would bless thy word to our hearts and help us to understand, and that thy Holy Spirit would prompt us and move us, that we would be able to apply the things that we read. For thou hast a message for us, and we are longing to hear from thee. And we pray that thou would bless thy word. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I desire that we would read together from the Old Testament book of Nehemiah, chapter 8. They gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate, from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood Mattathiah and Shema and Ananiah and Urijah and Hilkiah and Maaseiah on the right hand. And on his left hand, Pedaiah and Mishael and Malchiah and Hashem and Hashbadana, Zechariah and Meshullam. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also Jeshua and Bani and Sheradijah, Maaseiah, Kelita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, Peliah, and the Levites caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read the book in the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, This day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, Hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. And on the second day were gathered together the chief of the fathers of all the people, the priests and the Levites, unto Ezra the scribe, even to understand the words of the law. And they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month, and that they should publish and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, Go forth unto the mount, and fetch olive branches, and pine branches, and myrtle branches, and palm branches, and branches of thick trees, to make booths, as it is written. So the people went forth, and brought them, and made themselves booths, every one upon the roof of his house, and in their courts, and in the courts of the house of God, and in the street of the water gate, and in the street of the gate of Ephraim. And all the congregation of them that were come again out of the captivity made booths, and sat under the booths. For since the days of Jeshua, the son of Nun, unto that day had not the children of Israel done so. And there was very great gladness. Also, day by day, from the first day unto the last day, he read the book of the law of God. And they kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day was a solemn assembly according to the manner. I've read the Nehemiah. And Nehemiah is probably best known because he was a builder. He's known for rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem when the people returned back after the captivity. In 51 or 52 days, the walls that were destroyed by Babylon's army were put back together. And here we see another construction project that Nehemiah is involved in, and many others, of building up the people of God in the proclamation of the word and in demonstrating the scriptures, in sharing the scriptures, and exhorting one another to the joy of the Lord. And we see great fruit at the end of this chapter, of a people that had just spent this time building up and exerting themselves, working very hard. And now in this time of rest and quietness, they give their attention to the word and they leave with a joy. They share with one another the good things that they've received. And there's obedience to the simple word of God. These are great fruits and signs of a builder. And even for us today, these are signs of a great and master builder of Jesus Christ for his church. The second fruit of the Spirit is joy. And Jesus calls us in his word to obey his commands, that we would have his joy within us, and our joy would be full. These are great fruits. This is great evidence that building has been done. But every building has a starting point. And as you and I come together to hear the word of God, to be built up by the scripture, to be transformed and to be molded, to be strengthened in the inner man by God and by his Holy Spirit, there's a beginning point for us too. And it's good for us to reflect on the beginning point that takes place as these people gather and fill the streets to hear the word of God. It starts with a request. the people gathered themselves together as one man, united in purpose and desire. And they spoke to Ezra, "Would you please bring the law of Moses that we can hear what God commanded to Israel?" It began with a desire. And our hour of worship and the fruit that it will bear begins with a request and a desire. It begins with us seeking the Lord in prayer, opening up our hearts unto Him, asking the Lord to open His Word and show us what it is that He would have us to do. Ezra was a willing servant, and he brought the word to both the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding. Upon the first day of the seventh month, and he read, from the morning until midday, before any and all who would desire to hear, just as Jesus says, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. And today the word is available to us. We can open it and we share it with one another. The request is granted, but there's more groundwork in the foundation of this building. For it says, the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. There is a follow-through to that request. There is a remaining with the Lord as He opens up the word. And we yield the thoughts and our attention to God for Him to speak. And for the thoughts that He inspires and brings to our minds, that they would be given time to dwell and begin to make an impact in us. These people have done what we sang about to open this service. Ah, that this my mind one purpose could find, with heart and with voice, to cause thy heart, Jesus, each day to rejoice. A request must come with a purpose in our heart that we will follow through, and a faith that God can provide, and He will provide abundantly. It is a conscious decision of our will to seek the Lord, to desire and yearn, to hunger and to thirst. But oh, the hymn writer continues, those hours are gone when nothing is done and nothing is planned to show faith in Jesus and with Him to stand. How many hours pass by without a commitment and without follow through, without our hearts yearning and desiring a closer walk with the Lord? When our hearts have that desire, the Scripture has a promise for us. In Proverbs chapter 2, in the first few verses, we read the exhortation of Solomon to his son. He said, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. Each great building is built when a foundation is dug deep. And it is not a casual foundation upon which the fruits of the Spirit are granted. One that requests, one that follows through and is attentive, eagerly desiring. Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. There is a posture that conveys the seriousness of our hearts. This posture of standing is one of attentiveness. It is one of readiness for action. It is one of respect. And we may have slightly different format for our services, but this all starts in our hearts. And it works its way out into our bodies, into our minds, and into our actions. God knows. And when we have that right heart that is brought into a posture of reverence and respect, it has the same effect as it did in this day. That it would grant an atmosphere of reverence and blessing that one and all can receive and feed off of each other's desire and fervent pleading for the Lord and yearning for Him to speak to us. But those hours are gone when nothing is done. Nothing is planned and nothing is changed. But we go through the same motions time after time. Maybe it is time to pray a new prayer. Maybe it is time to show a new reverence. Maybe God would work more powerfully. Maybe I would do my part. Why not try? Why not follow the example of the Scripture? Why not bow our heads and lift up the hands, understanding and acknowledging where all of our blessings come from? And also, that we would desire without distraction to hear the word of the Lord, not to be looking to compare ourselves with each other or what one another is doing, but to focus, to reflect and in humility receive the word and worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. To come before His presence with singing. To make a joyful noise unto the Lord and to bless His name and to be intentional about it, that this is the time that I have to dedicate, to make that foundation strong, to show my seriousness to the Lord, and to foster a culture of worship and reverence. Ezra begins by blessing the Lord to proclaim His goodness, His greatness, His power. And we do that when we begin our service. And I encourage you, when you go home and read the Scripture and you have your time of prayer, that you would open a psalm or you would open a hymn and read it. And even sing it, even if you're just by yourself. The Scripture says, come into His presence with singing. We are not merely gathering with our friends and family, but come into the presence of the living God. It is in his presence that there is fullness of joy, and at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. There are blessings to be found, and his arms are open and filled with all that he has prepared for them that love him. May our hearts also be stirred with love and come into his presence, worshiping, listening, and being ready. The priests did their job to read the word, to explain its meaning, and to help bring the people into a fellowship and communion. And they understood the words that were read, and it says that they wept. They wept when they knew what the word had to say to them. Sometimes that happens to us. Sometimes when we really feel our need, we realize the promises of God that have always been there, but are so rich, are so strengthening, are so true. What were they thinking of when they heard the word? How did it speak to them? They are reading the law of Moses that speaks of God's perfect righteousness and commandments and expectations of the covenant that he had established with the people, which covenant they break. Were they thinking about how they were raised in captivity? And were they recognizing some of the patterns that they had developed or actually received from their parents that weren't all that good, but they could recognize that they had been drifting, and now was a time to weep? Were they reflecting upon the goodness of God and his salvation that he had brought to the people in the time of the Exodus? How he faithfully provided for their every need, just as he had for them when they were in their work of building. And finally, the light turned on. This struggle that I've been in, God knew all along. And he has been there. I didn't realize it, but he was walking next to me. Is that why they wept? When you read the promises of God, is that why you weep? This word is so precious. Its timeless truths cannot be compared to anything that you can possess. And yet, we are so saturated in this life with the next thing and busyness and hurrying that we tend to quickly pass over this word of great value. and don't let it have its full effect. Don't let it speak and get to those deep places that we think are just fine and okay and everybody else does it. Are we newly devoted to the Lord when we open His Word? Is our prayer with the hymn that we sang, "O rule in my heart according to thy hidden counsel and art"? We can make room. We can open the door. We can make that preparation so that when we hear the word, it is not just like the last piece of information, the last thing we looked up, that we quickly forget, but that it would stir us up and that we would feel and know the love of God, that we would also feel and know His correction, and that we would be able to weep. The Word of God is supposed to have an effect. And it had an effect on these people. But it was a time to rejoice, for they had the blessing of hearing the word of the Lord. And so Nehemiah and Ezra told them, "Go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." The joy of the Lord. Can you go tonight with joy? Is the joy of the Lord your strength? Do you find in Him all that you have need of to overcome, to fill your heart with the promise and blessing and the light of His countenance? The Father had said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." We believe that this is the joy of the Lord, God's Son. And He is our strength. Apostle Paul realized this, not when things were joyful, not when things were easy and things were going well, but in his hour of weakness. And he said, "I would rather glory in tribulations and in my weakness, that the power of Christ may rest upon me, might be my strength." When we find ourselves with our face to the ground, before the Word, Jesus becomes our strength. He becomes our comfort. He becomes everything that we need. He forgives us so that we need not be sorry, for that godly sorrow has worked its work, and we can eat the fat. We can drink the sweet honeycomb of the Word and the richness of His provision, and give to others who have nothing. It's my hope and prayer that as we come into the presence of the Lord, we read His word, that when the word fulfills its purpose in us, that we would find that the joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen.